Getting a client to give you feedback that makes sense is one thing, but how do you interpret that feedback and make changes that will push the project forward? That's what we're going to get into in this episode of Freelance Jumpstart TV. In my last video, we talked about creating revision cycles, or a set period of time in which a client can give feedback, and then you limit the amount of rounds that you give to a client when they do provide feedback. However, what happens when a client gives you feedback and it doesn't really make sense? I've noticed in design, there's certain things that people say, it just doesn't make 100% sense as far as actionable things you can change. So I wanted to get into the regular things that I hear and how to interpret and apply them.
You know, it just doesn't pop.
This is one bit of feedback I hear pretty often. It just doesn't pop. And to be honest, there's no real action I can make off of that, because what if I make some changes to try to make it pop and then it still doesn't please or appeal to the client? But what they're really saying when they make this comment is, when I look at the design or the page or the video or whatever it may be, it just does not grab my attention. So they're looking for their attention to be drawn in some place, in some area. They're looking for the first place their eyes go to. So really, to try to solve this, the best thing to do is speak with the client and ask them, what is the main purpose of the page, or what is the main purpose of the video, the design, the project? What's the overall purpose of it? And also, what's the first thing you want people to notice? Saying something like that will guide you on the best steps of what to do next, which is, where should people's attention go when they view the page? Also, the client may be alluding to the fact of, there's just not enough contrast to really draw me in somewhere. So if you use a lot of similar colors and similar color palettes, you know, maybe a blue, dark blue, light blue, navy blue, you know, many different blues, everything starts to look the same and it starts to blur together. So they may be looking for a stark contrast, you know, white and black, and then maybe you throw in another color to just add some excitement, or maybe complementing colors. Like if you have blue, maybe you have a green and then you have a sky blue, and maybe you have a different color like a maroon, but just something that's different and something that throws in some type of contrast. So really, that's what they're looking for. In other ways, if you're writing copy and you're, now if you're a copywriter and you're writing copy, if they say something like this, once again, it has to deal with, the text does not draw me in. It does not hook me in. So they're really just looking for something to grab their attention when they first glance.
I would like a clean design.
In my experience, when a client says this, they're really talking about the spacing and how things are laid out. So the word clean design, I mean, what does that even really mean? I mean, when you say clean, are you talking about colors? Are you talking about spacing? Are you just talking about the color white? This is something I hear fairly regularly. And as I mentioned, there's no such thing as clean design. But really what I've seen with that is, they're really talking about the layout and the spacing of certain elements. So really, if you have too much text close to one another, or if you have two images closer than one another, that is not evenly spaced or spaced in a way that makes sense, you may hear this type of feedback. So I tend to hear it more in working in web design, and I hear that. So really, once again, it has to do with spacing and colors. White normally is not a brand color, but by default it's used because most web pages start out white. So once again, I would say add more spacing and just keep it more simple. Sometimes clean leads to, you know, minimal design, to where you have a few colors and really white is the main neutral color, and you just take advantage of white space and negative space.
Can I get multiple designs? Then I'll choose one.
Having multiple looks may be advantageous to the client in terms of, they get to see different angles and they get to see different interpretations of what they wanted. But overall, for the process, it's not the best thing. I have heard this feedback in people just wanting, you know, a choice, and they just want to see different things. But really, having more choices just creates more confusion and more difficulty in having someone to decide. I do believe in giving multiple looks, to where you may have one thing that you did, or you may have a second thing, but introducing a third, fourth, and fifth, that's way too much. I would recommend not going over two different looks or two different ways to accomplish something, because overall it starts getting muddled and it becomes which one is the best, but you really don't know which one is the best in the eyes of their target market. So really the client would be making a choice on what they like the best based on their opinion, not on what really draws people in. If you hear this feedback, really to overcome it, I would share some of the process you went through to arrive at the solution that you're presenting. So you may share with them, I tried it in this color, or I did this look and this is what was wrong with that, or this is why it didn't look the best. But I would share a little bit of your process with them to how you arrived at the main solution you're presenting, just so that they can see where you came from. But I wouldn't get too caught up in giving a whole bunch of different looks, because it is important to provide and make them happy. But at the same time, you're a professional, you have expertise. And honestly, in this case, less is more.
Feel free to be creative and do whatever you want.
I tend to hear this when a client doesn't know exactly what they want, and it's right before the design phase of the project. You know, they just want you to be creative. And on one degree, that's cool, because they like your work, they like your style, and they just want you to continue to do your thing and to do your style. But the caution of that is, what if you do your style and they don't like it and they want you to do it over or do it again? That's where you get caught up in the people that say things like, I don't know exactly what I want, but when I see it, I'll know. The drawback of that is, when will they know? After the first time, the second time, the third time, fourth, fifth. Again, that's why I mentioned my video about revision cycles, because if you limit the amount of times you're gonna go back and change something, then they will focus more, that being the client, they will focus more and say, okay, I only have two rounds, so I have to start making decisions on what I like and what I don't like. So really with the whole feel free to just be creative, it's nice to have creative freedom, but you don't want to continually do the same thing over and over, and you never really know if you're truly addressing the client's needs.
The target audience for this project is everyone, every single person out there.
Again, this is something that I tend to hear right before designing, and I always want to ask the question of, who am I designing for? Who am I implementing this towards? Or who's really gonna be working with the final project? You know, is it children? You know, it may be a little more fun and playful. Is it gamers that are gonna be looking at this? So then it needs to look very clean aesthetically, but also very established and very strong. Or is it an older audience? So maybe certain colors and certain things I use may need to be more traditional and may need to look more trustworthy, like, you know, a longevity of a company or something like that. The thing here is the client has to decide on who they are targeting. And if they don't know, you may have to help them discover what their target audience is, but they're gonna have to choose, because if you try to market to everyone, then you're never gonna specifically hit a certain segment of the market. If you say this is for everyone, then you never really know what you can do, and you can't make certain decisions. What if certain colors seem too playful? Or what if you try a different look and it seems too stale, right? So, you know, you don't want to get caught up in between that, but the customer has to decide on what their target market is. And once you pinpoint that target market, then finally, you know, other people and, you know, secondary people may come in and, you know, it may apply to them as well. The design you provide may apply to them as well. But at the same time, you had to choose a target. So help the customer arrive at that. Help them get to the point to where they know what their target market is, because you don't want to try to design for everyone. Again, you have to help the client get to the point to where you say, choose a target audience. And once you become known for one thing, then you can start worrying about branching out to other areas. But the first thing you have to do is be known for something.
I like the pictures. I really do. I think the pictures are off brand though. Can we find something else?
There are times in print design, whether you're designing a billboard or something for a magazine, or even if you're doing something for web design, to where you're using images, right? And you need to use those images to further communicate the brand and further communicate the message of the advertising piece. The best photography really to try to create something that would be on brand is to take custom photos for that specific thing. That's the best overall way to really try to get on-brand photos. A lot of times you'll work with the client and they may not have that at their disposal. So it is important for you as a designer to know some photographers that you can possibly work with and add that as a bonus service. But if you can't do that, then you're subject to stock photography. It's very difficult to pinpoint using stock photography because they took it with a general use in mind, not a specific use. So you really just have to do the best that you can. And once again, ask the person, show me pictures that are on brand. And really, once you look at the style and observe certain things about the style, whether it be the color, whether it be the overall tone, whether it's the underlying message of the picture itself, like maybe people laughing or having fun, a certain brightness to a photo, then it can help you narrow down, okay, these are the type of photos that I believe are best. And really, if you're struggling going on and on with this, just ask the client to provide their own photos and just make sure they're of a certain quality, because you don't want to get hung up on this for too long and you pick and search through photos that they don't like. So really, if they provide it, that would be best. If not, custom photos. If you can't do that, then you have to just find photos that are similar to the client's taste, but you have to ask them, you know, to refine their description on what they view as on-brand photos.
Everything looks great, but can you move more information above the fold?
I hear this a lot with web design, and what they're really trying to communicate is, when people go to the homepage, I want them to see the most important information up front. Now, in recent times, this is a little more difficult to accomplish because there are so many different devices people are using. Above the fold varies based upon the device you're looking at. Is the user looking at your website on a cell phone? Is it turned vertical or horizontal? Are they looking on a tablet? Again, vertical or horizontal. Are they looking at a TV? Right now, is the TV vertical or horizontal? Are they looking at a laptop? What size? 13 inch, 15 inch? Are they looking at a desktop? Is it 27 inch? Is it, you know, 15 inch? It varies too much really to understand what is going on. That's why I have multiple, you know, monitor sizes behind me just so I can see how that looks. There are so many different devices now and so many different looks now, it almost does not matter as far as what is above the fold. But the best thing you can do with this is you have to tell a compelling story. People are used to scrolling. You know, I have nieces who are young, and by the age of 2, they knew how to scroll on the iPad. So people know how to scroll, they're familiar with it. But the biggest thing about that is you have to hook them in or tell them a story that will make them want to scroll. And that has to do more with copywriting and thinking out how you have the page laid out. So it's not about moving everything above the fold, it's more about what can you do above the fold that makes people want to learn more? And that's a strategy, you know, question, honestly. If you're really not sure how to explain the whole above the fold thing and you don't know what to say to a client, I'll post a link to some information so you can further and more deeply explain what's important about above the fold and how it's not as relevant as it used to be. That's the information that I tend to hear most from clients that is very difficult and vague to interpret in terms of feedback. So thank you for checking out this episode. I greatly appreciate it. You know, as always, there are show notes for this particular episode. So you can go to freelancejumpstart.tv/30, because this is episode 30, and you can read the notes on that. I also, as I mentioned, have links to other content that really helps you, you know, describe and interpret what these feedback terms mean. So check out those links for each particular set of feedback and just go deeper into fully explaining to your client that you do want to help them and you do want to do it right. However, you need to understand what it is they're saying and what their overall desire is based on that feedback. If you liked anything you heard in this video, give it a thumbs up. If you're listening on iTunes, give it a review on iTunes. I read all of those and I make sure to follow up on the information given. So I definitely thank you for taking the time to leave a review or give a thumbs up. Well, until the next video, I will catch you later. See ya.